Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from David Lindell, West Campus Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You know, tonight, as we're going to prepare right now in these moments to spend some time as we've been praying, but now preparing our hearts to head into the altar to spend some more time in the presence of the Lord. And as we do that, I just want to take you just for a few brief moments to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. Because he says in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." As you read through the book of Romans, you get to chapter 8. As you're reading through chapter 8, you get to these verses. It's very apparent that when you hit these verses and you hit this unit of Paul's letter, You're in a really new place in his writing, because a theme emerges that's just not a new theme, it's a dominant theme. And that theme is sonship. Because up to this point in Paul's letter, he has not used the word sonship or the phrase children of God yet at all. Doesn't occur anywhere. But when Paul gets here, he starts dropping it in every verse. It's all over the place. These references to your identity, to my identity, that when you're a Christian, you're a child of God. You're a co-heir with Christ. And Paul uses that, and he springboards into that out of what he writes in verse 14. He says in verse 14 that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And when he talks about being led by the Spirit, how you and I are led by the Spirit, what's so interesting about that, because we think about, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, we talk about, what job we're going to take. And it's certainly true that God cares about that and the Spirit does lead in that way, or how that relationship's going to work out. It's certainly true God cares about that and leads in terms of relationship and finances and decisions. But what Paul says is, when he begins to talk about the Spirit's leading, he talks about prayer. That the Spirit wants to craft within every one of us a specific way of calling on God and relating to God. That God's desire for you, that God's desire for me, is not somehow that we would see ourselves in the way that we talk to God as distant or far off, but the Spirit of God is constantly working to draw us close. And Paul highlights this in two ways. He says, first, that the way that the Spirit is leading us specifically in terms of prayer and how we relate to God is that the Spirit replaces fear with freedom. You see this, look at verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons." Like the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in The Message, he says, this resurrection life you've received from God is not timid, grave tending, it's adventurously expectant. That what God wants for you and what God wants for me is not a spiritual journey and not a relationship with him that is saturated in fear and hesitation. He wants you to experience a way of relating to him that is adventurous and open and free and expectant. That's what God wants for you. That's what God's desire is for you. And Paul says that's where the Spirit is taking you. That's where the Spirit is calling you out. Because to fall back into fear, what is the mindset? Paul says the mindset of a slave is fear, and fear in the spiritual life don't coexist very well. Because what happens is fear shades everything about the way that you begin to do life. It shades the way that you give because now you're worried if there's not going to be enough. Is it not going to be enough time or energy or resource? It shades the way that you process opportunities to step out in faith where you sense there's a prompting. All of a sudden, all you can mount in your own heart and in your own mind are the questions or the unanswered questions, particularly the unanswered questions. How's that going to work out? I don't think it is going to. I don't see any way possible. It hinders your prayer life. Because when you fall back into fear, the way that you talk to God changes. The way that you do or don't look to God changes. How often you look to God changes. Paul understands that what the Spirit is constantly calling us to is a greater freedom in the way that we call on God and look to God because of who God is and who we are, children of God, co-heirs with Christ. So that his desire is to, the Spirit's desire is to constantly call us from fear, from that mindset of slavery toward freedom. So that when you're processing what the Bible says, instead of saying, wow, I don't think that could happen in my life, you begin to say, look at how powerful God is. Look at what he did. What might he do? How might he work? How might he heal? How might he provide? That when you look at an opportunity to give, you don't say, will there be enough? You say, how much is God going to give back? How much is God going to pour in? How much is God going to provide? Changes. One's fear, one's freedom. One's a lack mentality, subsistence mentality, and one's an abundant freedom of extravagant expectation. Adventurously expect it, looking toward what God is going to do. And that's where the Spirit of God is calling you. In relating to the Father as an heir, a co-heir of Christ, a son, child of God. And then the Spirit produces intimacy with the Father in your life. Notice what Paul says here. He says in verse 15, you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce writes this. He says, the term adoption may seem somewhat artificial, to have somewhat artificial sound in our ears, but in the Roman world of the first century A.D., an adopted son was deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was no inferior in status to a son born of ordinary course of nature and might well enjoy the father's affection more fully and reproduce the father's character more worthily. That's when Paul says, you've been adopted into the family of God. God chose you. God loves you. And the Spirit is drawing you. He's beckoning you. Don't stand off. Don't be distant. Embrace where the Spirit of God is taking you into a new intimacy, into depth of relationship, and into an experience of the Father's love that you haven't had to this point. You know, Thomas Goodwin, Puritan pastor and theologian, he writes about watching a boy and his father. And Owen, you can come here, buddy. Watching a boy and his father. This is Owen. He's our oldest. Watching a boy and his father, yeah. But watching a boy and his father walking down the street together. He said as he watched, all of a sudden what happened is the dad... Wow. All of a sudden, the dad picked up the son, and he hugged him. He kissed him. He said, I love you, buddy. You're awesome. I care about you. I'm proud of you. I'm so glad God gave you to me. And then, after a few minutes, in our case, that'll be a few seconds, you can hop down. Hop down, go back to grandma. After a while, he put him down and they started walking again. And he said this. He said, was the son any more of a son when he was in the father's arms than when he was down on the ground walking next to him? Well, objectively, legally, no. Status didn't change. But experientially, intimately, made all the difference in the world. The Holy Spirit has been placed within your heart so that by him, you cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because what our sin nature does is it automatically predisposes us to distance. We on our own are not going to draw near, but the Spirit of God keeps saying, no, you're an heir. No, you're a child of God. Don't go distant. Come close. Experience. He wants you to experience that intimacy. He doesn't want you to know it in your head. He wants you to know it in your heart. He wants you to feel it. He wants you to feel it. So interesting. A first century Jew would never have called God Abba. Jesus, apart from when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That would be the only instance where he didn't call the Father Abba. The Holy Spirit says, look at the Father like Jesus looks at the Father. Respond to the Father like Jesus responds to the Father. Pray to the Father like Jesus prays to the Father. Trust the Father like Jesus trusted the Father. Embrace the Father and draw close to the Father and rely on the Father like Jesus relied on the Father, because you're a co-heir with Christ. It's who you are. Don't stay distant. Come close. But where you cultivate that, where I cultivate that, is by intentionally getting in the presence of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work that trust, work that intimacy, work that closeness into your heart, and begin to say, I will not operate in fear. I will not live like a slave. I will not go back there. I will pursue freedom, because that's where the Spirit's taking me. And there are some, and you've got big, bold requests, but they take an adventurous expectancy before the throne of grace. And that's what God, by his Spirit tonight, is beckoning you to do. Say, God, I'm going to be boldly adventurous in your presence by your Spirit, because I know you're calling me close. And so right now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, that you would begin to do that physically. Come into the altar and let's draw close to the presence of God tonight. Let's ask him to meet us in this place. And if you say, you know what, God, I want to draw close to you, then there's no better place to do that than right here in this altar tonight. And so would you come, you find a place of prayer. And if you need God to do something, ask him with bold expectation to do it. And if you need him to work that into your heart, that intimacy with him, you want to know him more deeply, you want to pursue him more passionately, you want to experience his love more tangibly, then ask him, God, make that real in my heart. By your Spirit, that's where you're calling me, that's where you're leading me, that's where I want to go. And in his presence tonight, ask him to do it. Ask him to cultivate it. God, I want a new awareness of your nearness. I want a new boldness in pursuing you. God, I pray that you would do that in me tonight. Let's pray that with passion.